Yo, 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 what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. We are back here on a Sunday afternoon. And of course, if you've been anywhere near TV, radio, podcast, and you enjoy Canada soccer, you know the news of what's happened, the announcement, the GOAT. Christine Sinclair has announced she'll be retiring from international duty with Team Canada at the end of 2023 after these final four friendlies with games in Halifax, Montreal, and what we know to be now games in British Columbia. So I want to have on someone who has written about Team Canada, podcasted about Team Canada for a while. It's Miriam Karabi from the She Scores Bangers podcast and Canada Soccer Daily. Miriam, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And you know, first of all, right there, it's saying that Christine Sinclair is retiring. Mm-hmm. And I know she's played national team for 23 years, which
to play for a national team for over 20 years, it's so, so rare.
And the fact that she's done, she's been a 14-time player of the year, all these accolades, Olympic champion, NWSL champion. Like it doesn't seem real that she's finally calling time on international duty, Miriam, does it?
It doesn't. And it's weird because you do know that this decision is coming to any athlete, especially an athlete that's kind of hitting their late 30s. It was her 40th birthday at the start of the year. But I think we always get blinded by the longevity of her career, that at retirement almost didn't seem like it was going to happen. We've always seen her in every single roster and every single camp that they're going into, regardless if it's a friendly or not. So we've always known, or especially in the last 20, 25 years, Christine Sinclair to be in that squad. And so the whole idea of maybe she's not going to be in the squad or retirement is coming was almost like a distant thought, which is, again, very weird to say because we do know she's towards the end of her career. But yeah, I think the longevity and the way she hasn't necessarily declined, you could say, at the rate of some of the other athletes, again, retiring, played probably a factor and kind of, you know, not being so unexpected, but you definitely didn't see it coming this soon.
No, of course, Mr. Longevity. I mean, she was always in the starting 11 for so long. And of course, a lot of players, she didn't really start coming off the bench until this past year. For a very long time, she was always in the starting 11, always consistently among that group who you know would play in a friendly, in an international tournament, in Olympics, the World Cup. So seeing this, I mean, at the same time, though, we do have a lot of great young talent coming up. We've seen names like Deanna Rose coming up. We've seen Ashley Lawrence playing well. Like, the one good thing is that, as much as, yes, Team Canada did struggle the World Cup this year, we did see this team bounce back against Jamaica. And we did see this team punch her ticket for Paris 2024. So as much as, yes, there have been setbacks, we are seeing Team Canada with talent coming up now, still in a good place going forward, Marion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she leaves the squad in what I would call a pretty good place. I think especially after the World Cup. I mean, even the World Cup, really, we saw limited minutes for Sinclair. Mm-hmm. There was games that she didn't start, and there was games that even when she was starting, a substitute would come on pretty early on in the game. And so that World Cup sent a bit of a subtle message of, right, there's a limited role to what we know Christine Sinclair usually does on the team. And I think on the back of that, you saw the September fixtures that were very important in qualifying for the Olympics. She started neither. And that was, again, a big and brave statement from Beth Priestman, but also to understand the role of where the team is. We're kind of moving on a little bit. It's a moment of passing on the torch. And it's good to see that the team is able to achieve those big things of qualifying to the Olympics against a very tough Jamaican side without the role of Christine Sinclair being in that starting 11. Again, it's a moment of reckoning, I think, for audience and fans watching Canada and understanding the blueprint of the Canadian women's national team. But for the players itself and for the setup that Beth Priestman is working with, it does seem like it's a suitable time to understand that Sinclair was going to have very limited minutes. Her role was not her role in some ways was going to be diminished on the pitch. And that's just the way the game goes. It's a bit brutal to say, but we have plenty of forward depth. Like you mentioned, some of the names that you were able to mention and the midfield names that haven't necessarily gotten a full shot that probably will get that starting numbers and big minutes that they would have not been able to have beforehand. So it comes at a time where we're seeing a shift change between the players, the personnel. I think even the style of play that Beth Priestman is trying to implement with the team. And it doesn't come in a moment of panic of like, crap, we've always started with Christine Sinclair. We don't know what to do without her now. It's a pretty comfortable moment. And I think that assures a good transition and a safe transition for the players and for the squads.
Yeah, no, well, I agree with that. And of course, now I mentioned off the top, we're going to the friendlies, of course, at Halifax, Montreal, then the final games in BC. And looking at that and just seeing how Christine Sinclair, for, we mentioned it, 20 years, like she was the face of this national program. And it's interesting because so few national programs you see the women's team leading the way in terms of bringing national prominence, because for decades and decades, we saw the women's team, they were the national team to watch. They were top 10 in FIFA. They've been that team. And seeing Christine Sinclair, like I've said before, she is the GOAT of Canadian soccer. And
and of course, it's not to put down any of the men's players who have stepped up for this program, past and present. But what Christine did and has done year in, year out for so long on a consistent basis, it has all of us putting her in that number one spot.
Mm-hmm. She is the player that when you think Canadian soccer, no matter where you are in the world, it's Christine Sinclair.
Her name is quite literally synonymous with Canada. Like, and just put Canada aside, when you think like big, prominent World Cup names, you think Marta, you think Sinclair. And then when you're thinking Sinclair, that obviously tracks you back to Canada. So she, and Rianne Wilkinson said this afterwards, like many of her other former teammates, but she quite literally single-handedly put Canadian soccer on the map. That is such a huge statement to say, because Canada, before Sinclair broke into the game, really wasn't known for its soccer. I mean, they didn't even qualify for the inaugural 1991 World Cup, which Sinclair, I think, was about like probably 8, 9. I don't know how old she was exactly, but Christine Sinclair growing up and starting playing football didn't see Canada at the World Cup until she was the one to actually lead them to those big competition. Similar with the Olympics games like that 2012 bronze medal came after her incredible spree and that hat trick against the US and that goal that secured them that bronze against France. And you mentioned this and you look back like 10, 11 years ago, that first silverware in soccer came under Christine Sinclair. And that first piece of gold, that number one on the podium, also comes under Sinclair's leadership. So we can always talk about the impact that she has on the future generation X, Y, and Z, but she brought silverware. She put Canada in a position where other teams fear Canada. When they're grouped with Canada, it's like, right, we're going against a very tough nut to crack. They are horrible. Like they Canada is hated to play against in the Olympics because that is our blueprint. And who did that? Christine Sinclair. And so it's always weird to think about like one person putting an entire nation's soccer on the map, but Christine Sinclair did that. And I think sometimes people reflect on the fact that she never had a spell in Europe, yet she's become so influential.
Yes.
But her influence spreads just outside of Canada. Like it first started at this, you know, Vancouver, Burnaby Bay superstar, and then it was like this Canadian icon. But we're talking about her now as a global legend. She is much more than just a Canadian name that put Canada on the map. She is Christine Sinclair, like the GOAT of Canadian soccer, and up with the big names of Formiga, Mia Hamm, Marta. Again, big names that still play and big names that she used to play against. And so we have a lot to appreciate and say thank you for what Christine Sinclair has done for this country and for soccer in general.
No, of course. I remember it started back even when she was a teenager. I remember,
and I'll never forget her first true massive international moment, the U19 Women's World Cup in Edmonton, when she led the tournament in scoring with 11 goals. You really saw her and said, wow, Canada's got something here. You couldn't deny the talent. You knew she was amazing. Coming out of the generation of players in the tournament, playing along with Erin McLeod and Kara Lang, you knew that seeing her from that tournament, that she was going to be the next big star in Canadian soccer from that tournament. One in which, unfortunately, Canada lost in the final in the Golden Goal to the Americans. But what she did that summer was amazing.
And she's shown ever since that moment that, hey, she, like you mentioned, Miriam, she will take this team on her back through World Cups, through 2012, which I'm still mad about, that semifinal. Yeah. I still have issues with that semifinal because I said before anyone, and you know as well, the 16 rule on a goalkeeper does not get called. But that get called? All right.
Yeah, I do very much enjoy though how 9 years later in the 2021 Olympics, that same semifinal against the US was the semifinal that took us, or took Canada to the final.
Yep.
So there's a bit of I guess, like a beautiful storyline to say of like it was such a bitter moment for Sinclair, that big, huge Olympic shot. Then a few years later, that same semi-final became the moment that Christine Sinclair went to her first Olympics final. So a bit of a story. But that honestly is exactly what Christine Sinclair has done. She's written stories in every game that she's played, both for club or for country. And I think it's, again, it adds to the many accolades that she has been able to do throughout her very long and successful years at the international level.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned too how she didn't really go to Europe. She stayed in North America. She stayed playing in the NWSL and the leagues that preceded it. It's interesting because you always see so many players, how they look forward to that big deal to go play in Europe, to go play in Europe. And she stayed. And it's interesting because we know how at times the perception can be North American football around the world. You know, there's always those demeaning comments, you're playing in Canada, the U.S. The fact that she stayed and played in the U.S. and Canada just shows, you couldn't deny her talent, be it her playing in Portland or the American market. You couldn't deny the talent, even though she didn't play for a team like, say, a PSG or a Real or a Barca.
Yeah, and I think that has become a conversation in the past week of, like, why is Christine Sinclair such a big global name despite her not going into Europe? Like, if you're looking at the likes of Megan Rapinoe, we know Megan Rapinoe for her many, many beautiful goals and moments for the U.S. Women's National Team, but she also spent a season at Lyon. So she, in some ways, had a loan of game time in Europe. Alex Morgan very briefly was at Spurs in the WSL, and I think that actually is more of a statement than anything, knowing that she wasn't in the UEFA Women's Champions League and she wasn't often in, you know, the big awards and shows purely because she didn't have that Champions League football. But I think, again, that proves a statement to show that she did what she did from the NWSL. And you're talking in 2005 NWSL, you're talking the NCAA. What she did on the international stage was almost unheard of, and to have that much of an impact globally just from a Canadian star, again, talks to the beautiful football that she used to showcase. But also, even though she's known a bit of a shy, kind of quiet person, doesn't really enjoy that media obligation, she was always in talks with the Federation. She was always in internal fights, always seeking for better for her program, for the program under her, for the players around her. And I think that is admirable. Again, speaks to the fact that she is much more than an impact on the pitch, but she's impacted the game off the pitch in ways that probably we won't know until she keeps talking about it, because she's, again, a bit of a shy person and you don't get to find out of everything she's doing behind the scenes. But that's just Christine Sinclair for you. She is a hardworking, humble person that wants to have the same and influence the younger generation with that mentality that she always took on the pitch.
No, of course it's true. And there's so many athletes in the sports world where they have that platform and they choose to be quiet. They don't really choose to use their power to move sports forward. But she, even though I mentioned Miriam, she's very quiet. I interviewed her twice and she's very quiet. But it's like, yeah, you're right though. She is spoken out about wanting fair treatment, as we've seen over the past year with the national team having their issues with the CSA. We also seen her use a platform to promote a domestic league in Canada.
She supported publicly before Project 8, which is launching in 2025.
She's been very outspoken about saying how Canada needs our own domestic league. And it shouldn't just be about getting, say, a Toronto and a Vancouver team in the NWSL. It's important that we have our own league with teams all across our own country.
Absolutely. Like, and Christine Sinclair played with Diana Matheson. They spent many moments winning trophies together at the Olympics, but seeing their relationship and I guess dreams of what Canada can have after Diana Matheson retired, and now that, again, Sinclair is following in her steps, but to see what they learned together playing in the program and now taking all these lessons during their career and implementing it in a league, in a domestic professional league that Canada not only has been dying for, like, quite literally, figuratively, numbers are dying for this. She knows exactly what it means, and she has seen the Canadian players around her in the NWSL get drafted, some others fall through the cracks and not get drafted. She's seen the players, again, in the same NWSL make their names in the NWSL away from home. She wants to avoid that, and I think we praise her, and you have to appreciate how much hard work that takes. You can't just look at Burnaby, Vancouver, you know, British Columbia, big names, Ontario, Toronto. You're going to have to expand much more than that. Halifax, Edmonton, yes. Nova Scotia. I think that'd be a really, really sick location in there. There's challenges with how big Canada is, but we trust, and I think a lot of the Canadians trust, and we're very lucky to know that Christine Sinclair and the likes of Dana Matheson are the ones leading and paving the way for this. It's enough with a lot of the numbers falling down. You see a huge, huge amount of relatively the second they hit over 20, and either they stay in the country and have to just go and study some kind of academic degree and work in that and leave soccer aside, or try to risk it and go to the US or somewhere in Europe. And again, that's a massive risk. And I think the nation has suffered enough with losing talent that it is way beyond time to really put in that 2025 Project 8 league. And knowing that Christine Sinclair, she's going to use all her expertise and lessons throughout the career to put it into that league, I think it's going to be very, very special.
No, it really will be. I cannot wait. It's only 2 years now from launch, so it'll be launching very, very soon. And of course, I mentioned again, Team Canada has friendlies coming up. We have games in Halifax, Montreal. Who are some players you're excited to see that'll be suiting up for Canada at these friendlies here?
Honestly, I would love to see a lot of minutes for Aladou, Mimi Aladou. She has been ripping it apart in Benfica. And I think for a Montreal-born player, hopefully she gets some decent minutes, a start for Montreal. I want her to go the full 90, but she's really, really good. Very versatile. I think she's had a very rough time cracking into Beth Priestman's squad, where now that she's getting that abundance of minutes in Champions League football, even with Benfica, I want to see her get some minutes. Evelyn Vienz kind of falls in that same boat of moving clubs in the summer, now with Roma and in Italy. She also has been in such a great consistent form, and I think Evelyn Vienz is a bit of a different player than the rest of them, knowing that she spent time in Sweden and then that was concluded 2 weeks before the World Cup, went to the World Cup and then back in action with the Serie A. So she hasn't really stopped playing, and I want to see Beth Priestman ride on that consistency and just how fit she is going into these games. So Mimi Aladou, I want to see a lot of minutes for her. Evelyn Vienz, Sydney Collins. I mean, man, she was such a joy to watch in those September fixtures. I want to see her again in there to keep building those chemistry links with the players. And again, the numbers and the names that Beth Priestman will want to make sure are fit and are ready for the Olympics, because from now on to the Olympics is just preparation for the summer. Mimi Aladou, Evelyn Vienz would probably be my bet to see in this window. Both of them Montreal born players, so them going back home would be a very fun one.
No, that would be very fun. I know with that Prisman squad, I know with the World Cup, the biggest concern was this can't have enough offensive attack, because we saw one thing unfortunately in Australia was the fact that Canada could not score. Do you feel that Prisman rosters here, the friendlies against Brazil, have enough to show people that hey, we figured out our scoring issues? Because that was a big thing for not just these games but friendlies beforehand, where Canada, we saw them struggle to really win a game beyond 1-0 or 2-0. The offense was something that was a little bit concerning. Do you feel now that these rosters are going to show people that, hey, I've sorted out the offensive issues that we had in the World Cup and even their tuna matches before that?
I think Beth Priestman needed to get brave and I guess a bit devastating with her starting 11 and substitution choices. And now when you see the likes of Chloe Lacasse, for example, taking very big decisive moments and scoring goals with Arsenal, to then again Mimi Aladou and Benfica being so, so on form and so consistent. Evelyn Vienz, a tank for the full 90 minutes. Finally, Nichelle Prince is going back into fitness. Similar with Deanne Rose, now getting consistency of minutes with the Foxes at Leicester City. So I think we are in a very good position, the fact that the players aren't so injured anymore, but we needed to see Beth Priestman take those brave decisions, drop the Christine Sinclair starting number 9, drop the Huitema, which again, she's a great player, but a young player. And I think even though we look at her as a person who's been in the squad for the past like 7 years, she's still 22. She's super, super young. And it's for these players, there's still a long career ahead of them in terms of learning. So dropping these names and putting in the Chloe Lacasse, the Evelyn Vienz, the names who are doing really good at club football, and trying to replicate that continuity and replicate that form with the international team is what Beth Priestman needed to do. And I think in that September window, seeing the fact that she started different names, she started Lacasse twice, and I love that. That's exactly the name we had been screaming for that entire World Cup, because Lacasse, I'm a huge fan of Lacasse, because She brings in such an electric energy. She's super feisty. She's not your biggest player, but she's willing to engage in that super physical battles. And Canada's a CONCACAF team. It looked like we lost those CONCACAF identities of being scrappy, being gritty. And when you have players like Chloe Lacasse that bring that, you need to put them on the pitch. And seeing how Canada rebounded against Jamaica was fantastic. So a long-winded rant here is I do kind of trust what Beth Friesman is evolving and doing with the forwards that we have. It's even better news for her that the players are on form when they go to club football. It's a task of making sure that they're able to transform that club form into international fall and let them take shots, let them score. We know they can score when they're able to get their shooting boots on, when they get their legs loose and able to get confidently just in the box, make some chaos, take a shot, rebound, whatever it may be, out of the box, shots, set pieces. That's another big conversation. I think that we fell too short in the World Cup. Canada is known to have a good set piece stats, mm-hmm. whether it's off corners or just regular free kicks. Janine Becky, I think, was a big miss because she usually was the person to deliver those. And I almost assumed that going into the World Cup, we would have figured out who would take these free kicks, but it didn't look like it was figured out. Jessie Fleming losing her in the first opening game probably wasn't too ideal. You lost your two ideal takers of a set piece. So again, seeing Canada score of a set piece against Jamaica at home in Toronto, that was the winner goal, or sorry, was the equalizer with Lacasse, yes. was great. And that's what we need, back into set piece danger and just let the shooting boots do what they need to do. Get Leon on the ball when she needs to, get Lacasse's energy. And I think it's very promising what we saw, and I would hope it continues the same, similar with Beth Friesman's brave decisions of dropping players that maybe aren't performing and allowing minutes for those who have been.
No, I couldn't agree more. Beth Friesman, I trust in her. I like what she's done since she's taken over as the main manager. So I definitely do think that she will make the right decisions here. And now, again, now we know that we have the games in Halifax and the game in Montreal. Now we have the final two games in BC to close out the year. I know it's been discussed it might be Australia, but if it's not, who would you want to see Team Canada play for the final games of Christine Sinclair's career? Because, you know, I think I think it would be really cool to see your end of career in BC playing Team USA. I think that would be a great way to end their time with the national team against the Americans for those two games.
It's a tough question. And the first answer that came to mind was obviously the US. I think that would be a firework of a doubleheader at home. I think Christine Sinclair has, again, had her bitter but very victorious moments against the US, and she spent the entirety of her career in the US. And, you know, she started her career in Vancouver, spent mm-hmm. the majority of it in the US, and now back to finish it in Canada against the US would be a story that I very much can subscribe to. But who? Yeah, I think the US, you've got to. I hope it's not Brazil again. I feel like we've played.
They played Brazil so much for the past little bit here.
It's been seven times in the past 2 years, which is just wild to think. Now nine to end the year off. It's insane how much we do enjoy going against Brazil. So if there's a team that I do not want to see Christine Sinclair end it with against, sorry, is Brazil.
11 games in 2 years.
Yeah, I think that would be too repetitive. I guess not so much of an original story, but the US would be a good one. I think this is a little bit orthodox, and I actually don't know exactly how it falls with the FIFA international windows. I think this team is probably busy with their own fixtures, but Sweden, purely because of that Olympics win against Sweden.
Yes.
I don't know. There's a bit of resemblance there. I think they might be actually busy with their Nations League, but if they're not, and if they're free to go up against Canada, that would be a good one to end it all with. So Sweden and the US would actually be my final two answers for this.
That's
not amazing. Brazil, though.
No, I think we all agree. No, I think Sweden or the US would be amazing ways to cap off her international career. And Mary, before I let you go, this is your time to plug all of your content, your social media. What are you working on? Like, where can people find you to follow you and all your great football content?
Yeah, no, like I've mentioned at the start, She Scores Bangers is a podcast that I run on all streaming platforms, so Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever it is they use. She Scores Bangers, you'll find me there. I'm also on YouTube uploading all of these podcasts. There's some of them that actually make it on YouTube, don't make it on Spotify, because there's plenty of visual stuff that you won't be able to see. But on top of that, I also do writing, like maybe mentioned, for Canadian Soccer Daily, capturing everything that you need to know about the Canadian women's national team across the globe. And I'm active on Twitter at SheScoresBanger, no S at the end, where I keep you posted with all the writings and the episodes that I drop. So yes, that's where you'd find me.
Awesome. Thank you, Miriam. Thank you for going on the podcast. Got to do it again sometime. I appreciate your time today on Avery Sports Show.
Thank you so much for having me.